Let's read together Psalms 130 and 131. In Psalm 130, we see the psalmist waiting in patient hope on the Lord for deliverance. And in Psalm 131, we see David, the author, coming to greater hope in the Lord because of humility. Let's begin by reading Psalm 130. Psalm 130, beginning with verse 1. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Let's consider a couple of background notes for Psalm 130. We see from the title of this psalm, of a sense, that it is anonymous. However, if King Hezekiah was the author, as we've suggested in our talk on Psalm 120, then the obvious occasion was when Hezekiah was facing the depths of death. Verse 1, out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. And the Lord graciously answered King Hezekiah's prayer of supplication, verse 2, and delivered him and added 15 years to his life. You can read about these events in 2 Kings chapter 20. I'm reading 2 Kings chapter 20, beginning with verse 1. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live. And he turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart, and have done what was good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened, before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, I have seen your tears, surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. From 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 130 may suggest that the psalmist was hurting because of some unconfessed sin, but not necessarily. Verses 3 and 4, once again. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. In any event, we have the great truth here that God can forgive the believer's sins, past, present, and future, and does not keep a detailed account of our sins and make us pay for them, which we could never do. Verse 3. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities or take note of iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? What's the obvious answer here? No one could stand. If the Lord put a mark in a record book for every sin we committed, who would be left standing when the books were opened? No one. Let's move now to our doctrinal point for Psalm 130. A believer's hurt should result in greater hope in the Lord. A believer's hurt should result in greater hope in the Lord. When some believers hurt, either because of sickness or financial loss or broken relationships, they become bitter and blame God. That's not the way it should be. A believer's hope should result in greater hope in the Lord. And that's the way it worked in the life of the author of Psalm 130, verses 5 and 6, once again. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than those who watch for the morning. Yes, more than those who watch for the morning. There's probably no one who longs for the morning more than a night watchman who's tired and needs rest. I remember when I had an all-night job years ago, how I used to long for morning light. If King Hezekiah was the author of this psalm, we know that he turned to the Lord in his hurt and the Lord answered him. In verses 7 and 8, we see that when believers have greater hope in the Lord, they tend to share it with others and motivate other believers to have greater hope in the Lord. Verses 7 and 8, once again. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is abundant redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. We know that these verses are prophetic in that there will be a restored Israel in the future, and they will look in hope to the Lord in the midst of their hurt and realize his love and redemption and forgiveness. A believer's hurt should result in greater hope in the Lord. Now, what about practical application for Psalm 130? Look up when you lie down. Look up when you lie down. Now, this practical application is just another way of saying our doctrinal point. A believer's hurt should result in greater hope in the Lord. Sometimes the Lord has to force us to lie down so that we will look up. In fact, it's difficult not to look up when you are lying flat on your back. Illustration: when I was about 20 years old, the Lord put me in the hospital 3 times in one summer so that I would look up. It worked. In fact, it was during those times of recuperation that I started to seriously study God's Word in depth. The Lord may have to do this in your life as well. That is, force you to look up in one way or another. Remember, look up when you lie down. Let's continue reading Psalm 131. Psalm 131, beginning with verse 1. Lord, my heart is not haughty, nor my eyes lofty. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord, from this time forth and forever. Let's consider a few background notes for Psalm 131. We see from the title of this song of ascents that it was written by David. Now, we don't know the exact occasion of this psalm, but the humility that is voiced in this psalm certainly characterized the life of David. Even after his great sins of adultery and murder, David repented completely and humbly accepted God's discipline. It's important to realize that David's point in verse 1 is not that he avoided the challenges of life. Far be the thought. Think of David courageously rising to the challenge to fight Goliath. The point of verse 1 is that David renounced the sins of pride and presumption. Verse 1, Lord, my heart is not haughty or proud, nor my eyes lofty or arrogant. Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor with things too profound for me. So the point of verse 1 is not that David avoided the challenges of life. Far be the thought. Again, think of David courageously rising to the challenge to fight Goliath. I'm reading a poem about David's confident courage. This is taken from a daily devotion. Quote, imagine the thoughts of David as he descended into the stream bed to prepare for battle with Goliath. And now the poem. As I stoop down to pick these stones, I know that I am anointed and I am true. A shepherd of flocks enlisting to fight, the water reflects a regal image now, saving the nation by becoming low. End of quote. Written by our son David for the Home Altar Daily Devotions. The point of verse 1 is that David renounced the sins of pride and presumption. In the sin of pride, you think you're so great and you look down on others. In the sin of presumption, you think you're so great and you overstep your bounds. David renounced these sins, and so should we. And that brings us to our doctrinal point for Psalm 131. A believer's humility should result in greater hope in the Lord. A believer's humility should result in greater hope in the Lord. As a result of David's humility, we see in verses 2 and 3 that it led him to greater trust and hope in the Lord. The same should be true in our lives. Now notice that the picture is of a weaned child, not a nursing baby. Surely I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. The picture of a weaned child conveys more of a maturing trust rather than rest and comfort, which of course is also true for the believer. Now let me ask you, do we have a humble, growing, and maturing trust in the Lord like a child? This is what our Lord had in mind when he said in Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4, "Assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Matthew chapter 18, verses 3 and 4. A believer's humility should result in greater hope in the Lord. Pride in a believer's life results in separation and less fellowship with the Lord. Humility in a believer's life results in greater fellowship and hope in the Lord. We see in verse 3 that David looked beyond himself to Israel and desired that his hope in the Lord would characterize the nation. Verse 3, "O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever." The good news here is that David's desire will be realized when in the future restored Israel will look to the Lord as their only hope. A believer's humility should result in greater hope in the Lord. And now for practical application for Psalm 131. Don't be too proud to say, "I don't know." Don't be too proud to say, "I don't know." What do you do when someone asks you a question in an area where you should know the answer, but you don't? What do? You fake it and pretend you know the answer? Or do you humbly and honestly say, "I don't know"? Don't be too proud to say you don't know or that you haven't read the book or you haven't heard the news for which people are asking you your opinion. Are you willing to swallow your pride and say, "I don't know"? We see from verse 1 of Psalm 131 that David would have been willing to say, "I don't know," about matters that were beyond him. The end of verse 1, "Neither do I concern myself with great matters, nor things too profound for me." That's the idea. David would have been willing to say, when asked a question that he didn't have the answer for, "I don't know." Are we willing to swallow our pride and say, "I don't know"? We see from verse 1 of Psalm 131 that David would have been willing to say, "I don't know," about matters that were beyond him, and so should we. Now, certainly we should be motivated to try and find out the answers to the questions we don't know. But don't be too proud to say, "I don't know."